We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban three fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobanka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany? Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck and pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Game night. Game night tonight.
Mm-hmm. I'm going.
Going to the game. I just had lunch with Crowder. Now we're going to do a show for 2 hours. And then you're heading right over to Hard Rock Stadium.
Yes, I'll be there. Come on up and check out Cracked, new restaurant, 203.
Where is it again?
203 on the club level right outside of Liv. We'll be there. Delicious food. Come check us out.
Crowder and I had lunch with Aronde Gadsden and Josh Appel and the Ticket Wizard. And Ryan and KC from Funky Buddha, Amanda, and Crowder gifted everyone the brand new blends of Crowder powder. I was asking him how to refer to it because I keep wanting to say flavors, new flavors, but that doesn't seem like the right term for spice. And blends. He said blends.
There we go. You got your paprika, your cumin, your onions, your garlic, and the nacho average taco seasoning. Then you have the real deal seafood seasoning. Man, listen, off the chain. They'll be available soon.
That was a good lunch. I walked out of there with some doggy bags. Crowder was giving me holy hell, saying you don't have to take everything off the table.
Leave a French fry, something, Huck. You ain't got to take everything.
Listen, you were not raised Jewish. Me, the Ticket Wizard, and Amanda, we took everything that was left. And then we had our Crowder powder. I mean, that's called a good lunch.
Hey, Crowder, you going to take that ketchup? Huck, that's their ketchup. That's not our ketchup. We can't take that bottle of ketchup.
Believe me, they want you to take the ketchup. Believe me, they want you to take the ketchup. No. That's what Ticket Wizard was telling us, his mother, who I know. She would say that at the country club. She would take, napkins or sugars, and Barry would say, "You can't take that." And she would say, "Believe me, they want you to take it." And you go, "No, they don't want you to take it."
And as a new restaurateur, I would co-sign that. We do not want you to take all our damn napkins.
Well, thank you to Ryan and Casey, Funky Buddha Tap Room in Oakland Park. They took care of us for lunch, and it was really good. Yes. We had everything. The yuca tots, bison balls. We had bison balls that Aronde could not get enough of.
We've changed a menu on this show because the bison wing conversation created them making bison balls, and them damn meatballs are delicious.
They were really good.
Oh, my goodness.
I had the tuna tostones. Mm-hmm. We had some wings. Crowder, all of a sudden, Solana doesn't eat fries anymore. Gets a burger, but now he just stares at the fries. And I'm like, what are you doing there? Like, why are you staring at the fries? Oh, I don't eat fries anymore.
I don't eat fries. I'm trying to stay away from the starches.
Who are you?
Yeah, that's what Aronde said. Aronde's like, oh, what diet's he doing now? Non-fried diet.
Is OG the same guy that said them Yucatan tots are delicious? I said, OG is not a Yucatan tot.
He loved the Yucatan tot.
that's not the name.
You can't go around pumping your chest about being a restaurateur. By the way, you don't have to say it like that. Like, you can just say it normal. But then sit at a restaurant and not eat French fries.
I know, because I don't eat french fries that aren't from crack, because our crack french fries, truffle fries. We have this pepperoni fry that's delicious. You know, I just, I'm a little fry snob now that I've tasted, you know, cracked fries.
Well, we had an excellent time at Funky Buddha. Thank you, Ryan and KC. So what do you think happens tonight? I am torn on this game, Crowder. I could make a case for Buffalo coming in here and whooping the Dolphins. I could make a case for the Dolphins winning, and I'm really torn. And that line, which is -2.5, doesn't move me either way, because this could easily be a field goal game either way, but it could be even closer. What do you see happening tonight?
I think it's going to be an over game. I don't believe in the Dolphins' run defense yet. So I think the Bills are going to try to really pound the ball and just go downhill. The Dolphins are going to have to outscore them. So I think if the Dolphins win, it's going to be in them high 20s, low 30s to win the game. But I see this being a 34-28 type game. I see this being a big-time game. Dolphins can't play conservative. We can't drop balls. Jonnu Smith, Durham Smythe, those guys, they are still a good team. It's the weirdest thing. I'm sitting there last night, and I go to NFL Films or one of them, because I don't have ESPN because this dumbass lockout they have. I don't know what's going on. And the fourth quarter of the Bills-Cardinals game is on, and I watch it. The Bills' offense is not garbage, even though they don't have very, you know, like, their players are, you know, no names. Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. Sorry, Salon, I know you hate on him, but Josh Allen is a bad man. So I think there's going to be a shootout tonight, to be honest.
Wouldn't mind here, because I got the over. I have three bets rocking right now for the game. I have Tua over 4.5 yards rushing. I made that very clear. I've got the over. Rob Pizzola suggested that yesterday. And I also put in the flyer that Rob Pizzola suggested, which was Tua anytime touchdown. I think it was +500 on the Hard Rock app. What do you see transpiring tonight, Solana? Solana will be on the air at 4 o'clock with Brendan Tobin. It is game day uncensored. We have a abbreviated show because Tobin and Solana get you ready for 4 hours heading into tonight's game. We do have Gino Toretta joining us this hour, Don Bailey Jr. joining us in the next hour. But Solana, give us a little preview. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
Yeah, I'm split here because I like to believe that this game is going to be a shootout, as Crowder just said. But the more and more I prep for this game, and truthfully, just listening to people smarter than me about football, whether it's Travis Wingfield or whoever, Kyle Krabs, the guys who do a really good job podcasting and previewing games, man, the Dolphins personnel is better than the Bills. Think of all the guys that they lost, aside from Stephon Diggs. Like, Micah Hyde retired. Jordan Poyer is in Miami. Defensively, their defense football in the second half and essentially just do everything. And I think if the Dolphins tonight can keep him from being that guy on short rest Thursday night, I think they're going to win this football game, man. I really do.
Yeah, I think Buffalo also, like, if you have a couple of situations like a Javon Holland knockout or a Josh Allen turnover, which he has a propensity to do, like, yeah, if you keep it close, that can completely change the outcome of the game. So I'm leaning towards Dolphins, but I can't tell if that's my heart. Like, I can't tell. Like, I'm so up in the air on this game, because I'm really like, hey, prove this to me, Dolphins. Like, the Bills have had their number. I think Josh Allen's 11-2 against the Dolphins in his career as a starter. Like, prove it to me, Dolphins. Like, make this. I know Solana goofed yesterday by saying, oh, is this a statement game? But, like, make a statement tonight against Buffalo, and I am in for the rest of the season. Like, make a statement tonight.
Josh Allen in the second half was something like 4 rushes for 32 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Make him throw the ball to people we don't know their name to beat us. Don't let Josh go out here and run around the field. That would be my whole approach to it. I understand, like, you can't go cover one man-to-man the whole time. You have, you know, man-to-man beaters. I understand that. Anthony Weaver needs to understand there should be somebody staring at Josh Allen every single time he drops back. And if he takes off, get him on the ground. Don't let him beat you with his legs. I don't think Josh Allen can throw for 350 and beat Tua and the Dolphins if it's just his arm.
no shot. No shot. When you think of the weapons that they have right now, like, bro, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakur, Mac Hollins. Oh, what's he going to do? Drink M&Ms in the end zone again?
He's
like,
number three, Solana. Mac Hollins is their third receiver.
I like Mac Hollins.
Those guys don't scare me on the edges. Like, I feel confident that the Dolphins can send pressure. You know what Buffalo's going to do? They're going to put six fat guys up front, and they're just going to take it to you. And if you can contain that and keep Josh Allen from literally, again, just being Superman, getting out, extending plays, making plays with his feet, like, bro, I think the Dolphins can keep them from going and scoring four or five touchdowns tonight, which would be worst-case scenario. Hawk, to go back to your point, the Dolphins, they've lost four consecutive against Buffalo. They've lost 11 of their last 12 versus Buffalo. If they were ever going to get them, it's tonight. Short rest, week two. It's tonight that they have to be able to go beat them.
I hope they do.
Jalen Ramsey man-to-man on Keon Coleman. If somebody else starts going off, Jalen Ramsey should be butt naked and go and roll the safety the other way, have somebody drop in the box and spy Josh Allen. Josh would have to beat me with perfect throws tonight. There's no way I'm letting that big bastard run around.
That settles it. It's going to be 49-45 Dolphins tonight, Hard Rock Stadium. That's what I'm feeling. We have an abbreviated show. So let me get through a couple things that I want to make sure everybody knows about, because we have this cool contest where you can take a picture, get an autograph with Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov. We have a different code word every day. So this is courtesy of Hollywood Collectibles. Hollywood Collectibles in Dania Beach. They've got a signing. They're signing with these Stanley Cup champions, Alexander Barkov and Dmitry Kulikov, is Saturday. And you can get all the details at HollywoodCollectibles.com. But if you text the word Stanley to 20357, you're in the drawing for a free opportunity to get a picture and an autograph. So text the word Stanley to 20357. Again, if you don't win, you can purchase tickets at HollywoodCollectibles.com. Let us get headlines here. Start out the program with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
All right, gentlemen. So tonight, 8:15, you know, here's what we know about guys in and out. Mostert is out. We found that out yesterday. Devon Achane will be a game-time decision. And Liam Eichenberg, who was on the injury report, McDaniel said he's good to go. So that's the latest right now.
By the way, interesting tweet from Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post. I don't know if you saw this today. He says, Kirk Herbstreit, doing the game tonight on Amazon Prime Video, says on the Pat McAfee show today, maybe Odell Beckham Jr. returns week 6 or 7 for the Dolphins. That's what Herbstreit said. Barry Jackson points out, all very odd. It's a league-owned network reporter, and the league-owned network reported July 23rd that he was working through minor things, and that Greer said last month he wanted to play now, not stay on the pup. Now, someone points out, Herbstreit may just be guessing. He didn't say, I expect him back week 6 or 7. They may have just been having a conversation on Pat McAfee, but that is a little concerning if Odell Beckham, you know, is being targeted for a week 6 or 7 return when we thought it was just a tweak or two.
I told y'all when they signed him, he's a bonus. He's the sour cream on nachos. You can still eat good nachos without sour cream. It adds a little something to it. But if you depend on Odell Beckham Jr. to run a good offense, your offense is not that good. It's going to be bad. He's injured. He's older. I think he can still play, but he's going to give you 8-10 games. And that's what Odell was. I thought everybody knew that from the signing, that Odell Beckham is going to be a bonus player on this offense.
Yeah, but wouldn't you like, as an offense, having the defense to worry about Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, and Odell Beckham versus Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, and Braxton Berrios?
I love it. I would love it more if it was Odell 4 years ago. It was Odell Super Bowl year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. He's an older dude. It's like, honestly, Calais Campbell. Calais is making, he's not making a bunch of money. He's still a good player, but he's not Calais Campbell of 5 years ago.
Right.
You get an older player and you expect him to – I hate you, Solana. You get an older player and you know, okay, he can play. He might have some injuries, miss a couple games, but he can still perform at a high level. Odell Beckham's going to have a couple games this year, but you don't know when the hell they are.
I like when pregame shows do like alliterations, rhymes. They have on SportsCenter right now, Ryan Clark. He's got a feature called Ryan's Iron. It's who he's eyeing tonight. Ryan's Iron. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch. Ryan's Iron.
I'm going to text him. That's lame.
What else we got, Solana?
Wow, that's rough, man.
Right? I mean, I love that stuff. Ryan's Iron, you know, keys to the game. Everybody likes that. But Ryan's Iron.
We should do that on this show.
Alliterations or Ryan's Iron?
No, I don't know the name Ryan's Iron. Yeah, there's nobody named Ryan on this show.
I can get Ryan McGuire call in.
Like Hawks, you know, Hawks, Rocks, I don't know.
All right, guys, let me continue on with headline. Whoa, I think I'm accidentally on IG Live. Let me turn that off really quickly.
Funny.
That was a girl, though. I was proud of her.
So was Cat Williams.
Hey, man, look at you, huh?
So that's what it's supposed to sound like?
not that quick.
Guys, we have a couple of heat notes.
Not like he was moving a piano upstairs the way that he was breathing. I mean, it was well, it was it sex or was he just was he moving stuff around his house?
he must live in a 2-1 if he was moving something, because I heard the start and the finish. I said, that could have been a commercial read.
It's a great tweet from Michelle Beadle today that just said, wasn't me. That's funny.
He needs some regenerative medicine.
We have a couple of heat notes. So Terry Rozier, I think he was talking with Ira Winderman, provided an update on his neck injury. He says he's almost back to being cleared for 5-on-5 basketball, which I'll be honest, I was a bit surprised because, man, it's been a couple months already, and he missed the entire playoff series and the last 2 weeks of the season. But he said he's not totally fully cleared to be playing 5-on-5, but he is doing on-court activity. Remember, Heat open up training camp in less than 3 weeks.
All right. I mean, no interest in that non-story at all. Okay. I mean, none.
It's spinal.
But just, we have a Dolphins game tonight, and then, you know, Canes on Saturday, and so like give me that in 3 weeks. This reminds me of when you talked about Luis Suarez coming here, and then he was coming here, and then all of a sudden a month later he was still coming here, and then a month after that you announced it as it was official. We thought we already knew that. Like, I had
the scoop.
He wants to amp up these Heat stories that mean nothing, like the boy on Proposition 8 yesterday.
Well, actually,
damn about that little boy.
Please tell me there's not a follow up here.
Hold on, Malik Williams has been released by the Miami Heat. So the Malik Williams era,
the guy that they signed yesterday that you made a point of putting into the headlines.
Yeah, Malik Williams, the Malik Williams era is done.
Well, what could he possibly have done between the time he signed his contract and got released?
He listened to our show.
Did he undertip somebody at the bar?
Like, did he get in a fight with the valet? Do we have a Robert Height situation on our hands?
Barry Jackson tweeted out, the Heat released Bryson Warren and Malik Williams, who were signed yesterday to Exhibit 10 deals in procedural moves to facilitate them joining their G League team in Sioux Falls. So at the moment, they aren't scheduled to be at Heat training camp, though that could change.
All right.
Hawk, me and you should get an Exhibit 10. We should call it a heat.
I guarantee you Pat Riley would give me an Exhibit 10 because he doesn't know what that is either.
Solana, call Tommy, see if they'll sign Hawk and myself.
They give you like, a couple orders of the mini empanadas there from section 109. Those mini donuts and a little donut machine.
Tell them me and Hawk will play Jimmy and Bam to six. If we win, we get Exhibit 10s.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. It is raining again. And the forecast has a decent chance for rain today at Hard Rock Stadium. So it could be messy conditions for tonight's Thursday night football game.
55-51 now. Book it. It's messy. And they're just going to stack fat guys up in the front and try to run it down their throats. 55-51. This thing's going over 100. Bet the house on it. Gino Toretta, he joins us every Thursday on this program. He's going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You smell that? You feel it?
What's that?
Hialeah.
Hawk and Crowder.
Part of our scenic view right now, Crowder, is Gino Toretta on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Gino Toretta. And by the way, we're going to talk some Canes and some Dolphins. If you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merchandise this season, you check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or check out caneswear.com. But Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, he joins us every week, talk a little football. Gino is the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They have a full line of grills, smokers, charcoal pellets, fuel. Gino loves to grill. Crowder loves to grill. Evening's Delight. They have two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. Evening's Delight is South Florida's source for Big Green Egg grills, accessories, seasoning, sauces, and more. And by the way, Gino's touchdown radio as the Georgia-Kentucky game this Saturday. Gino will be on the call from Kentucky. How would the Canes hold up? And I know we've only seen two games, but one of them was against Florida. And how would, in your opinion, early on in the season, the Canes hold up against a team like Georgia?
Well, I need to hold up against Georgia because they've really reloaded. They're a very talented group, but I think that Georgia plays Miami and Mario's got UM playing tough. Kind of that Saban, coaching tree. Syracuse, another Saban guy. They're actually playing tough. So I know this. It would be a physical battle. Think this weekend, if you can give me some topics,
because you're gonna need material other than the game.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and let's see. They haven't beat a number one. Kentucky has not beaten a number one ranked team in a long time, and it's not gonna start because they got smoked against South Carolina last weekend. And South Carolina is not near the team that Georgia is.
Gino, talking about that, now we know when everybody wants to do the widespread offense and the quarterback gurus and all this stuff. Every time we talk about football, it's about whooping somebody's ass in the trenches, and that's the teams that are good. It hasn't changed that much because I remember the power, the power by, and you remember running powers and running posts and all that downhill stuff. Those are the teams that still win, or you can win without doing it, but I think the teams that win consistently can do it.
Well, point of attack, you know as well as I do. Defensively, every coach is going to be like, stop the run. Make them one-dimensional, make them throw the ball, stop the run. On the other side of the ball, I would say this. Schematically, what we did at Miami when I was there is very similar to what they're doing now. One back, spread it out. But the addition of the RPO where the quarterback is a run threat, because from all your game film, you have a one-person advantage when the quarterback takes himself out and throws the ball. Well, when the quarterback's actually running it, if all 11 guys aren't on point, then there's going to be a big hole. And I think that's where the additional threat against defenses is today is, when I came out, it was you watching Marino and you know, in Montana and those guys sit in the pocket and just deliver the ball accurately. Now it's, okay, our guy under center has to run, and he's got to be a legitimate threat running the ball where, you know, listen, we all watch Lamar Jackson, and I just marvel how somebody can be in that physical shape and to mentally operate in a game like he does. Because you know as well as I do, somebody rips off a 15, 20-yard run, they're exhausted. Most of the time, running backs hitting their head, let me out of the game. Lamar's back in the huddle on that. So I would just like the quarterback threat of the run game is a total difference maker and makes it that much harder on the defense to stop the other team.
What would have your over-under on rushing yards have been during games that you were quarterback for?
Like, I'm going to say this, and if you want to win a bar bet, of the Miami great quarterbacks, who's the only one that had positive yards rushing at the end of his career, and that
Stop
was
it.
Yours truly.
Stop it. Really?
I swear to God.
How many?
Now, listen, my longest, I had a 3rd and 13. I rushed for 14 against Florida State. I think my longest in my career was 16, but I might have ended with like 32 yards positively in rushing. Now, that was back in the old days where sacks went against the quarterback. Sacks don't go against the passing game. Sacks went against your running game. So, you know, it was funny this past weekend doing Colorado and Nebraska. Nebraska had 0 yards rushing in the third quarter, and Shedeur Sanders was like minus 30. So it was interesting. But I did end with positive yards. If you're going to give me an over under on the game, man, if they first off, the bookie's an idiot for giving me a line on my rushing
have
total.
To be a half Might yard, two, no, right?
2 yards, three. I mean, I don't know.
Because I've got Tua tonight over 4.5. Because he like week one, his over under was 2.5 yards. He doesn't look to run.
See, here's a reason why you're a gambling degenerate and why I would never bet that line. Because you could get totally screwed by an official. If he runs in the clear and he starts to slide, they kill the quarterback. They take 2 yards from the quarterback as soon as he stands up and starts to slide. That could be your bet right there.
Or a kneel down at the end of the game. That counts against rushing yards.
Really?
It doesn't, but the kneel down does. Yeah, you can.
And you're still taking that.
Oh, I mean, gladly. And at halftime, I'll probably walk downstairs.
I'm just curious, on an average game. So this is a game, you know, the team. Like, how many bets are you placing? Are you like parlaying? Ten different parlays. Okay. And
so tonight, I said at the beginning of the show that I have 3 bets rolling tonight. I did put one more bet in during this last commercial break. So I have 4 bets tonight. Here's what I have. I have Tua over 4.5 yards rushing.
Okay.
I have the game total over 49. I have Tua anytime touchdown at plus 500, meaning he's got to run the ball in, not throw it in. Like, he's got to run the ball in. That's a long shot. That's a flyer. And I just took another flyer during the commercial break. Because the over-unders on passing yards for Tua and Josh Allen are like in the 230s and 260s, I think. I parlayed them both to have over 300 yards passing. So the odds are very high. It's a long shot flyer, but I could see an aerial attack tonight.
I think I've heard this before, and it's probably been on your show. Just Venmo me the money, and I'll let you know how much you lost.
Tell them all the time, Dino.
As Defo once said to me, he said, "My mom calls me, and she'll leave me a voicemail. I haven't heard from you in a while. Call me back. It's called 1-800-ADMIT-IT."
You know it's bad when your mom's telling you you got problems.
But I never gamble more than I can afford to lose. I had a good weekend. On week one, and then what did I just win the other night? Oh,
so I'm curious. Is this like you know, because you're supposed to account for it in your tax season. So do you file like put it in your taxes?
I don't ever end up positive. So if I account for
well, that's
it, it's
good.
Losses.
If you don't end up positive, then you should be writing it off.
In 54 years of life, I have never ended up in the positive at the end of a year.
You know,
I don't
what they say? Those casinos weren't built on winners, Hawk. Maybe take that advice.
That's right. Every time I drive past Hard Rock, I always go, look at what I built. A lot of people think I wouldn't account. Wouldn't add up to much.
You walk in Hard Rock, they say, hey, dummy, I'm sorry. sorry, Mr. Huck Crowder. How you doing? I say, what'd you call me?
Gino Toretta, by the way, joins us every Thursday on this program. We talk some football, and he is brought to us by our friends at Evenings Delight, South Florida's source for all your outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. And again, Evenings Delight is South Florida's source for Big Green Egg grills, accessories, seasoning, sauces, and more. Real quick on the Canes, you have any kind of concerns? I kind of feel like, you know, just based on the past decade or so, Ball State or USF the next week would somehow become this thing, maybe not a loss, but just like a thing that you're sweating out at the end, because that's just the way that things have happened over the last decade or so. I don't have any trepidation about those two games coming up because I feel differently about this particular Canes team.
I would say this. One of the reasons that college football has the allure is because of upsets. Because Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame on the road last week. And you'll get that sort of thing. But I think that this team with Cam, I think they're mature. I think with the coaching staff, they'll be ready. I think that, but these are two important games. Like, you know, does the best roster always win a football game? No. And I think that, you know, especially if you're, you know, you're in it. I mean, heck, when these players, they watched the Notre Dame game last week and they realize that could be them and it could ruin their chances of a national championship hunt. And so I think that that other teams, when they kind of slip up like that, it wakes you up. But I think the maturity level of this squad is there, that they're going to, you know, go out, be ready to play this week. And basically it's just kind of the old cliche. It's just 1 week at a time. But listen, every game is important, especially nowadays in this playoff and we'll see. I know this, since they're celebrating our 35th anniversary of our 89 championship. Yeah. If they announce our team at halftime and we're not playing very well, I guarantee you, I don't know how many guys are coming, but there's going to be 100 guys giving them an earful from the field.
You're not going to be there, obviously, right? Because you'll be in Kentucky.
I am. I'm going to see the guy. I saw Coach Erickson today, Russell Maryland. They're in town, and then tomorrow night we have a dinner amongst the team. But I'm not going to be at the game. But I there's no question my teammates that I played with will not let it go by easily and be quiet if we are not dominating like we should be.
And, you know, I got to ask you, so speaking about those games, because I tell a story about I played FAMU. Actually, you went play FAMU last week, and we beat them 73-3. And after the game, guys were asking me, could I meet them, their parents outside of the locker room for an autograph, and we just played against each other. And it was weird to me as a kid. Like, I was like, why the hell do you want my autograph? I just whooped your ass by 70 points. When do you call off the dogs? And in a game, and we're assuming Ball State is going to be one of those games, is it a score? Is it my guys are playing a certain way? Is it I don't want to put them in harm's way? Like, when do you call off the dogs in those games that you assume are beatdowns?
See, my question is this. How do you get to 70? Like and listen, I broadcast games every week, and – to me, at least when we played, because we were always, quote-unquote, the bad guys if we put any points on the board or too many. So we went into a game where, like, let's say FAMU. It was, can we, the starters, be out at halftime? And then the backups going. So essentially, you don't change your game plan. You don't change how aggressive you're going to be from a coaching staff. It's just instead of the starters being in the game, your backups, and then when they put some points on the board, you know, then the third team. But I was always, I don't know, we might have scored 56 in a game. I don't think we ever got to 60. And we got to 56. We scored 35 points in the second quarter. I'm like, Ole Miss beat somebody 70-6. Like, how do you get to 70? Like, no offense. If the second quarterback and a third team quarterback are going in, you're really getting to 70 points, or the starters are in there a little bit too long. That's at least my thing. I'm like, get the starters out. Don't get hurt. Put the backups in, still call the same game plan, and then you get those kids, you know, some experience and that. I just am always amazed somebody can score 70 points or 80 points in a game, and they're like, they're not catching grief, because I know this. If we beat somebody by more than four touchdowns, it was Miami, you know, typical. They're running up the score.
They were calling to shut down the program.
Yeah, they were, you know, cover of Sports Illustrated. Can you believe Miami scored 70 points against the Little Sisters of the Poor? You know, so anyway.
Let me ask you one question before we run out of time here. And it's just a topic of conversation the last couple of days, but I'm guessing you watched Bryce Young plenty in college. I'm fascinated with the Carolina Panthers and how bad they are. And I think Bryce Young is just too small to be a successful NFL quarterback. And Crowder even says, like, he's taking hits from guys like on a regular basis that I don't know if a guy his size can withstand it. Solana's a supporter of Bryce Young. He believes that you can't judge what you've seen last season and 1 week of this season. Where do you stand on him being a successful NFL quarterback?
I say this. Quarterback relies on 10 other guys doing their job to look good. And I'm not sure they have 10 other good players on the Carolina Panthers. They have an owner which, you know, listen, we've seen the stuff on social media. I don't think there's a lot of fans in Carolina. They went through a couple coaches. Matt Rhule, what did he last? A season and a half. Frank Reich, I think he lasted, what, half a season? I don't even think he's the coach anymore. I couldn't even tell you who the coach
Canales,
is.
So, isn't it?
Yeah, the grass is always greener with the coaching staffs. You got personnel turnover. You know, Channing's been through coaching changes. I think there's so much more than just Bryce Young. I think he's an unbelievably talented player. But listen, look at Brock Purdy in San Francisco. They're the same size. I mean, you get the right system, the right scheme.
Are they the same size?
And you've got the right talent, the same talent. Yeah. I mean, Bryce is not, you know, I always thought like Kyler Murray's. I don't know if he's as
big
as Bryce.
Stockier to me, though. Like he can withstand
all of them itchy bitchy spiders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to think of who you're talking to. I remember walking onto a field. I think this was years after I got done playing, and in the tunnel, and it was the Tennessee Titans and somebody, and I'm walking out onto the field like amongst the offensive linemen for the Titans, and every dude is like 3-4 inches taller than I was. And I'm like, I'm like 6'3". I'm like, damn, these dudes are big. and I thought the same thing, Hawk. I'm like going, man, you got to find the throwing lane, even at 6'3". And these guys are, 6 foot. You know, do they have to find a lane? But, man, they traded away, their best receiver. I mean, they are not good. I mean, like, if this was a soccer deal, it would be relegation. No.
But it's not on Bryce Young, in your opinion.
No, he's just – he can only – I mean, like, he can throw – like, if we went out and played 7-on-7, you'd be like, damn, this kid's accurate as hell. I mean, there was questions about Tua until he did it. You know, there are going to be questions about Bryce. The bad thing is he ain't got no $100 million receiver out there that's going to –
There's no light anybody. At the end of the tunnel.
No,
for
I don't
–
I mean, you don't
team.
See it yeah. now. It's going to take him time. Yeah. So I just yeah. – but, you know, those taking those shots – man, it doesn't matter if you're little or big. Taking them shots, it takes a lot of years off your life at the end of it.
Crowder's got bunion pads in his office now. This is how you know you're washed.
Got Dr. Scholl's bunion cushion.
Dude's got bunion cushion.
You know what? You need to go. Crowder, have you got the UFOs yet?
OOFOS.
They're like flip-flops, but they're like thick foam. Like, they're supposed to be for runners, rejuvenating like your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I'm telling you, walk around on these hard floors in South Florida, you will thank me. I found them in a running store in Chicago years ago. I'm like, damn, these things are comfortable. Can I wear these? So I wear them around the house.
Old maniest conversation.
Exactly. We're giving barbecue tips and arthritis tips.
We're going to reverse sear our steaks and our UFOs. We got action.
Crowder, don't be laughing. I got an outdoor pair and an indoor pair because I don't want to bring the dirt outside to inside.
This is a walk show. Gino Toretta, he's out with us every Thursday, courtesy of Evening's Delight. And I say these big green eggs, and we're really out of time. But why does everyone love those? You know I'm not a grill master. Why does everyone love those big green eggs?
Because you can go low and slow. You can go hot. I mean, them girls get 700 degrees like quick. and then you get the smoke real the charcoal flavor. But you can do pizzas on them. You know, I know you're a big pizza guy. You can put the pizza ceramic on it. You can heat up, grill your wings. I mean, it's basically you can use fire, or you can just use low and slow smoke and that. But they are phenomenal, and they're multi-faceted from the standpoint of, you know, since you're an expert in the reverse searing method that we taught you last week, that you can go low and then you can open up the vents and sear the heck out of your meat at the end, get a little Christmas from the inside out. That is,
can I reverse sear on my George Foreman grill?
You need to reverse sear them bets and tell them you're mailing them in. Just say no, I want to pull these back.
I'm pulling you off my Christmas list. Reverse sear button on these damn bets me and Hawk get into.
What are you talking about? Those bunion cushions didn't pay for themselves, man. That's gambling winnings right there. That's because we're doing well this season. Man can take care of his feet.
So when does it go bad? Since you're unvictorious in 54 years, when does it go bad?
Oh, pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Gino.
Hey, I think I do remember. What, the Marlins start out 0-8, and you're like, they can't start out 0-5. They can't start 0-6. They can't start 0-7.
But even when I said we had a good week one, I mean, I was only down 600 or 700. I mean, I was really happy with
that's
the.
That's just good money chasing bad. That's just good money chasing bad. I told you, just here, I'll give you my Venmo and just send it to me. We're gonna start an NIL deal for Hawks betting, and we won't put in the bets.
Listen, we should get an NIL deal for Crowder and Dr. Schultz because.
Hey man, that left ring toe is bad off, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Crowder, do you buy that thing yourself? Or do you make somebody go in the grocery store and buy it for you?
Gino, I swear, when I bought, we talked about it on the show, I felt like I was doing something wrong. Like I was ashamed. Because you walk up to the cash register, it's a little 18-year-old girl. I'm buying bunion cushions.
Hey, you walked up in some flip flops. She looked down and she goes, ooh.
She handed him the bunion cushions. He didn't even ask for them.
Yeah, she said, you know what, sir? Go ahead. This one's on me. You can take these.
I wish you all the luck in the world, sir. I hope things turn around for you and your nasty.
Hey, do you have one of those filers where you got to file your toe and all the skin all over?
I got a raptor claw. That left ring toe is a. All
right, we got to go. We're going to run out of time. Gino Toretta is out with us every Thursday, and he is the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida source for all your outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They've got two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. And if you follow Evening's Delight on Instagram, you can see a lot of video with Gino telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing on the grill. Thank you, Gino. Have a good call at the game in Kentucky.
All right, guys.
There you go. Gino Toretta. The 3 o'clock hour is coming up, and we'll have Don Bailey Jr. joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. So do not go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I sit back sometimes and think, man, I wish I was better at football.
Hawk and Crowder.